going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We have had another very busy week of big news stories, and tonight we're going to try and tackle some of the headlines. George Zimmerman suing the family of Trayvon Martin and prosecutors in his trial. A study by the National Institutes of Health linking breast cancer to hair dye and hair straighteners. Gabrielle Union, Celebrity While Black, Race and America's Got Talent. And Kamala Harris dropping from the presidential race. We're going to talk about all of these issues tonight. My guests are political strategists Malik Abdul and Dr. Niambi Carter, political science professor here at Howard University and author of the book American While Black. Lines are open. You can jump right in. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHUR. FM. Dr. Carter and, of course, Malik, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
All right. First and foremost, this story about George Zimmerman suing Trayvon Martin's family and prosecutors and others for $100 million. Dr. Carter, that is a head-snapping story. What is going on here?
Well, I mean, I think George Zimmerman's life is in a shambles, as it should be. And I think he's grasping for straws. And I think this is the height of disgust. You killed these people's child. You were charged and you got off. I don't know what else was supposed to happen for him. But I think this is gross, and it's a money grab.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. But It truly is disgusting, Malik, because just when black folks were thinking that they can, you know, put this issue to rest and hope that Trayvon Martin could rest in peace, here we go again. George Zimmerman, you know, once again raising his ugly head, so to speak.
The audacity of it all. This isn't the first time that, you know, we've had something like this with George Zimmerman since then. Since he murdered Trayvon Martin, because that's what he did. He's been out of control since then. And this seems like an extension of his personality, because if we think about just the murder itself, you know, this is the same guy with the same level of arrogance who got out of his vehicle to decide to follow a black kid home. Because he didn't think that he belonged there, you know, and even though the police told him at the time, don't follow him, don't pursue, he did it. So this really doesn't surprise me. It is utterly disgusting to know that he would not file a lawsuit just against the attorneys, but the parents of the child that he killed. It's gross. It's disgusting. Anything that you can imagine, that's what George Zimmerman is. And so, as Dr. Carter said, his life is in shambles, and it should be. But this, you know, he has a right to sue, but it's a case that's not going anywhere. No. And I can't see any. I haven't actually seen anyone who's been supportive of this. And even though there have been people who have, you know, had questions about, well, you know, whether or not he really was guilty of what we know that he was. They can't. It's hard for them to even defend this, because you're literally suing the family of the child that you killed.
One of the things that that supposedly this is coming from was a pseudo documentary by Joel Gilbert, who does not have the best reputation. There were all kinds of conspiracy theories about the case that the young woman, Trayvon Martin's friend, who testified, Joel Gilbert in this film is alleging that she was not the real friend who was on the phone, and there was another girl on the phone, and that this film was actually supposed to air a run, I should say, this week in Coral Gables, Florida, at an art house until the owner of the art house discovered what this was about and canceled that film. So it's, you know, even outside of the lawsuit, some $100 million, the background on this is at best shaky.
Well, and it doesn't really matter, because the fact of the matter is a boy was killed. He's not coming back.
Right.
And that is the truth.
Right.
Mr. Zimmerman got the best possible outcome out of this.
Yeah.
He was charged. He was acquitted. And he's moved on. Even this, I think the civil rights case that was filed against him was dropped. Mm-hmm. Not to mention this man at least has been charged with domestic violence in felony assault in the months and years since then.
Yep.
So, I mean, this man is not credible. If this is the case that everybody who ever was charged with something got off. Right. Then prosecutors' offices are going to be in a lot of trouble. I don't think that's going to be a signal that anybody wants to send. So I agree with Malik that this is going nowhere. It's just an attempt, right, to make someone feel sorry for him. And I'm sorry. No one can feel sorry for the man who decided to murder a child.
Yeah.
That's his business.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about some of the top stories of the week. We've got some really fascinating issues to address. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call again at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Whatever the issue happens to be of our little list of stories, please, you're certainly welcome to jump in. I want to move on to this study by the National Institute of Health linking breast cancer to hair dye and hair straightening, and particularly black women. Seems to, based on this study, to be particularly at risk. And the thing that is really, you know, interesting, this study has more than 46,000 women. And we are talking about NIH here, the National Institutes of Health. We're not just talking about, you know, some high school science project here.
Right.
Your thoughts about this, Dr. Carter?
Well, I mean, as a black woman who's known black women with breast cancer, who are breast cancer survivors, and is always mindful that when, you know, everybody else is catching a cold, we get the flu.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is yet another thing to be concerned about. But I will say, you know, this same study is saying that we don't exactly know what the mechanism is, right?
Right.
We still have to study it more. And there are other things that matter in black women's lives as well, other environmental determinants of health, like obesity, like smoking, perhaps even in other sort of environmental causes, right? The where we live, right? The geography of our communities that can help keep us and make us sick. So I think I would not tell every black woman who's ever dyed her hair, gotten a straightener, right, to jump out the window and decide that her life is at risk. But I think it's yet another reminder of how imperiled black women's lives are by some of the most mundane things, some of the most ordinary things that exist in our environment. And we always have to be vigilant about our health and hypervigilant, because not only is this study showing that black women are susceptible to this risk, they're more susceptible than other women, even though it raises everyone's likelihoods.
Right. And if I was reading correctly, I think I read that overall that women who dye their hair, because there was a distinction that they made. Well, first of all, I learned a lot about permanent dye versus temporary dye.
Yes.
And I actually didn't know, because I've never had to dye my hair, so I didn't know anything about it. But I think they said that the women who actually used the permanent dye overall were 9% more likely, but black women, and that's where the number stood out, you know, black women were 60% more likely to develop breast cancer. But I agree with Dr. Carter that it's kind of, you know, a little, you know, they really didn't draw a straight line. And I think that that's something that we should consider ourselves. It kind of reminded me of many of the studies that you hear. It's sometimes it seems like it's a monthly thing where, well, if you drink too much wine or if you do this or one thing or the other, then you're more prone to some sort of disease or some sort of affliction or whatever the case. And I when I saw that, I immediately thought of that, because, you know, I remember reading things where I said to myself, oh, no, so I can't eat that anymore, you know. So and not to minimize the study itself, because it's important to actually study. I mean, they did use real numbers. But at the same time, I don't think that this is something that should be alarming, even though it's something that that we should all pay attention to, because 60% from nine, if I read the, from 9 to 60%, that's pretty huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's significant, but I do think the study authors did caution us to take it with yes. a bit of care, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is not definitive, mm-hmm. and they don't yet know why.
Right.
And it could be something more deep, right? Yeah. It could be something genetic.
Yeah.
And they don't know that yet. But I do think, you know, as Black women, we are, I mean, I can't tell you how many Black women I know with fibroids or with breast cancer, and not just breast cancer, aggressive breast cancer, and young women, mm-hmm. right, who are facing a lot of health challenges. I mean, we've talked on this show before about maternal health, mm-hmm. right? Black women are at risk.
Right.
Our health is at risk. And I think it's from a number of things that have probably have to do with probably many of the traumas that mm-hmm. folks are facing. I mean, there was just a study that came out and looked at children and birth weight, right? And, and exposure to trauma in the mother while pregnant. Like, these things are significant in our lives. And I think I'm happy that studies like this exist that are trying to disentangle sort of what is going on specifically with and for Black women, because it's not enough. And that's why they don't know what's going on, because there's still not enough work mm-hmm. On Black women.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are looking at some of the top stories of the week. Lamont, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Lamont. What's on your mind?
Great show as usual. Question, well, not a catch, comment. As a Black man who's 51, who's been bald since 25, with this hair issue and all this discrimination against our sisters who have their own identity, our hair, mm-hmm. Gabrielle, that's ridiculous. They need to stop being racist and discriminatory. Now, you look at in the past, when I was growing up, it was like Michael Jordan was the first Black man. Oh, he's sexy. But you look in the past, Yul Brynner, was he sexy? But you look at Kojak, you look at Lou Gossett. So with this man, you know, it's a different thing. But they need to stop. My daughter's a biracial, and people look at their hair and, oh, it's straight because it's natural. I mean, all this thing about they're still Black. They look, you know, biracial, but I keep saying, the white girls, your hair is who your hair, be who you are. Don't be, you know, people might ask questions, but women, they need to be who they are in this society. What's her name? Kardashian. I saw something where she had her hair braided, and people got on that. You know, why are you doing that? You're not Black. Why? You know, so they need to stop that overall with women, period, especially our sisters.
Okay. Absolutely. Thank you so much. And obviously, he's talking about another issue that we are going to get to in just a bit, the Gabrielle Union mm-hmm. issue in America's mm-hmm. Got Talent. But I did want to drill down on one other thing as it relates to this study and hair. And I would, you know, argue like you, Malik, I've never had my hair dyed, okay? Although there was a time when I did put a little juice and berries
in it. Of course.
It, okay? Let's talk about that's another conversation, okay? little S curl back in the day. But with that said, I would imagine that, you know, the salon that, you know, that you go to, Dr. Carter, is different from the salon that that your white counterpart may go to.
Yes.
Okay, which means is if you get your hair dyed, is the dye different? Is the straightening product different, you know, mm-hmm. than the products that white women use? And does that, I don't know, I'm asking, mm-hmm. Is that the thing that sends the 9% for white women to 60% for Black women?
Well, I would say this. I mean, permanent dye is permanent dye is permanent dye, and I am a frequent permanent dyer. So,
no.
Yes. I'm the 1 to 2 month. But
your hairdresser knows.
But I mean, the dyes are the same. I think some of the straightening products are the same, actually. I don't think it's, you know, necessarily the cream of nature perm, mm-hmm. but those Brazilian blowouts that people get are pretty much the same. And I'm sure a hair care professional could speak to this better than I. But I will say, I mean, the pressure that Black women feel mm-hmm. because, I mean, as Lamont said, people should be who they want to be. And, you know, it turns out that I actually do like to dye my hair. But the pressure to straighten your hair, I think, is mm-hmm. one that is starting to recede. But we know it's still there, that women face discrimination, that people, even other black women say things about other black women's hair and how it looks and whether it should be straight, if it's unkempt because it's curly or because it's coily, right? That it doesn't look nice, right?
In that Douglas.
Absolutely. When Gabby Douglas, and she's a gymnast in the Olympics doing her job, and people are talking about, you know, what her ponytail hair looked like next to her natural hair. And it's like, hey, did you everybody not realize that she's going to sweat, that she's a young black woman who is out here, I mean, doing something that most of us can't imagine.
And setting records.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can talk about is the fact that her hair doesn't match her ponytail. Of course it's not. It's not her hair. It's not the way her hair grows out of her head.
Right.
But we do need to ask questions about why industries like gymnastics and ballet have it that you have to wear your hair particular kinds of ways to be professional or professional looking.
And, you know, and just to piggyback off that, I actually have a friend here who has a hair salon. And for years, Edwana, she has specialized. She specializes in natural hair. And she was the first, you know, I didn't know she was well ahead of the curve as this natural hair movement. And she, a lot of the things when I would go to her shop, you know, she would talk to me about the difference. You know, there is a thing called, you know, specializing in black hair.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And she, and that's what her shop actually specializes in. So when I look at my own family, like my mom, my sister, my aunt, you know, they're all wearing their hair natural, and it's different. It's they care for their hair differently than, you know, white women,
absolutely.
You know, other
well,
women.
Our hair has different needs. It has different moisture needs, right?
Right.
Than our people who have, say, straighter hair.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, I think part of the movement to natural hair, at least, was, you know, it is a lot of work. And I am somebody who has had a perm. I don't have one currently, but and haven't had one for years. But I mean, it is work. Whether you wear your hair natural, whether you wear your hair straight, but at least to feel like you have a choice. And I do think we're in a moment now where the space is democratized a little bit, right? There are women who can go between or do different things, and I think that's important.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about some of the top stories of the week. Andrea from Virginia and Mr. Cook calling from Baltimore, please do not hang up. We are going to be talking to you next. You will be able to hear the program, so stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM. Boy, we've got lots to talk about. We're still going to talk about Gabrielle Union, America's Got Talent, Kamala Harris dropping from the presidential race. And, of course, you can call in and talk about it all. We'll be back in a moment.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about some of the top stories of this week. We've got some doozies for you. My guests are Dr. Niambi Carter, political science professor here at Howard University and author of the book American While Black, also political strategist Malik Abdul. If you have a comment, if you have a question about the topics that we are examining this week, lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you have difficulty getting in, please keep trying. I promise we will get to you. Andrea, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, just calling in. I was calling about the Zimmerman situation. I actually went to high school with Mr. Zimmerman. And
what was that like?
Well, you know, I didn't know him extremely well personally, but I can say that the few run-ins that I did have with him, I was very insecure, became aggressive, you know, towards people that didn't really, you know, go for his personality per se. And I agree with you guys. This is the most disgusting thing I have ever seen in my entire life. You've murdered these people's children, and you're going to try and sue them, it just blows my mind. I just, you know, I felt like, you know, I needed to call in because I listened to you guys on my way home. You're so calming and relaxing, but this has me ramped up.
Well, Andrea, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm glad to be a calming and relaxing part of your life. Although I suspect that we'd like to get you ramped up too.
I'm glad she's got out of high school with her life.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, well, there's that.
Boys like those kill and beat up girls and boys when
absolutely
they become grown men.
Yeah, indeed. So, Andrea, thanks for giving us a call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Mr. Koch. I said Mr. Koch, but it's Mr. Koch. Thank you so much for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm calling the Zimmerman case, and I think they should really, you know, having see a psychiatrist because this is crazy. After he did this to this little teenager and then turning around trying to sue the family, I think they should reopen the case and really try it and, you know, send this guy to prison because this is ridiculous.
Well, the difficulty with that, and you can certainly, talk about this, Malik, but, he's already been acquitted,
right,
on state charges,
mm-hmm,
and the federal civil rights case has been dropped. I mean, we've got double jeopardy here. So,
right.
I mean, what's done is done.
Yeah, so you can't do anything as far as that case is concerned. But I think the public scorn will do him, because really, if you think about after the domestic violence cases, mm-hmm, almost immediately after the acquittal, the public sentiment towards George Zimmerman began to change at that point. And I think he's been dealing with that. You know, they will, you know, God will put a monkey on your back. And I think that this has been the monkey on his, this will forever be the monkey on his back. So we really, you know, this is a man who's spinning out of control. And so I think that life will take care of itself as far as George Zimmerman is concerned.
Hope he doesn't kill anybody else in the meantime.
Let us hope
or
not,
get killed.
Certainly. Yeah, there
that
you go.
That is possible.
All right. Mr. Koch, thank you so much. Dee, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I was thinking that when I heard about the case, that I just really think it might be something where it's a political motive, because I do know that Trayvon Martin's mother is running for a seat that's being vacated. And that it's a perfect opportunity for some people who might be, like, on the Republican right or the pro-gun might be working to try to smear her. And so that concerned me. I don't think it has to do with him at all. I think he's just being used.
Hmm.
My other comment was I had just wanted to mention that someone had said they wondered why it is that black people have to have their hair a certain way when they're dancing or when they're doing gymnastics, but I just want to point out that when you're doing dancing or gymnastics, it really does demand that your hair has to be out of the way. So they do want you to pull it back tight, out of the way, so that they can see your facial expressions, and so that when you're dancing, it's not getting all in your face, which doesn't look good.
Well, I mean, I do understand, you know, that, but I think, and when we're talking about the gymnast, for example, one of the biggest criticisms, and these criticisms were not all by white people.
No.
What was not about whether her hair was in her way, in the way or out of the way, mm-hmm, but it was about how it was styled or not styled.
Well, and I think that was the thing for me. I understand why the hair can't be in your face, but all black women's hair is not in their face, and mm-hmm, all black women don't necessarily have the kind of hair that you can just pull tightly back into a ponytail. Mm-hmm. And even if you do I also then have to put a false one on to go with it?
Right.
If you want my hair out of my face, then say you want my hair out of my face. I think it makes sense for lots of things, right? Perhaps physical, to keep your hair out of your face, but do you also have to add fake hair? Do we also have to perhaps perm our hair, do other things to our hair,
right,
that it does not want to do, particularly when we are doing things that are physically demanding, that requires to sweat, and that's going to make our hair coil and curl and do other things. It's not in our face per se, but it certainly doesn't quote unquote look nice for some.
And that is what that, and people, I don't know if people remember, but that's the discussion that people were having, and a lot of black women, well, black people in general, were having about Gabby Douglas.
Right, that's
what I was saying. How her hair looked. you know, not just whether or not it was pulled back, it was that it looked unkempt. And so I just wonder, you know, well, how is your hair supposed to look if you are a gymnast? So,
right.
So you're, I mean, you're definitely right. And I think that was a lot of the things that were driving the conversation, because we get caught up, even when you're talking about natural hair, a lot of the discussions that people have is how it looks.
Yes.
Yeah.
But all of this is about how it looks. But mm-hmm. I do think, like I said, we can pull it back in a ponytail.
Yeah.
I can put it in a little a ponytail.
But it's going to sweat it out.
And it's scrunchy. But it's still going to sweat
out. It's going to sweat it out.
It's still going to sweat. It's still going to be curly.
Yeah.
And are they even being penalized by the judges, I wonder, in some cases, for the way their hair looks?
Mm-hmm. Let us hope that we don't get to that point.
Right.
But, Dee, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let us talk about, and we kind of touched on it earlier, Gabrielle Union getting fired from America's Got Talent, Celebrity While Black. That's my term.
Yeah.
Don't make me see you.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. This is, you know, let's... Oh, come on.
How do you unpack that?
Yeah, how do you unbraid this?
Yeah.
You know, with Gabrielle Union, her contract was not renewed for the next season of America's Got Talent. In the business, we call that getting fired.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she had complained about an environment that was racially insensitive, and that there were this was an old boys club. There were so many issues mm-hmm. about this. I mean, you know, we're talking about Gabrielle Union here.
Right.
Okay, one of the most talented, most attractive, not just black women, but actresses,
yeah.
in Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
okay, and yet she was saying that and then producers of the program were saying that her hair was too black.
Mm-hmm.
She had complained about being uncomfortable with some of the comments that were being made, including a joke by. Former Tonight Show host Jay Leno, he made a joke about what Koreans eat. She mm-hmm. didn't like that. She mm-hmm. said it should have been reported to the Human Resources Department. It was not, but the joke never aired. My gracious. Help me with this, Dr. Carter, because I tell you, if they can do it to Michelle Obama, if they can do it to Oprah Winfrey,
yeah.
they can do it to Gabrielle Union.
Well, yeah. I mean, last mm-hmm. I checked, she didn't stop being a black woman because she's beautiful and talented and
Absolutely.
Has a bajillion jobs. I
yeah.
mean, like, she has a clothing line. She does everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, she is like many of us who go to work in places that are inhospitable
mm-hmm.
to who we are. I don't think that anybody in that room probably thought about that joke. Right. Because
right.
they didn't have other people of color around to say this is inappropriate. It's
mm-hmm.
racist and I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly like a lot of women, not just black women, she changed her look up frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it was long. Sometimes it was short. Sometimes it was curly. Sometimes it was, her natural hair. It was whatever she wanted it to be. And she said they made some comment about like the audience wasn't ready for it. And I mean, really, who cares whether you wear a bun or you wear it down? Like, people are there to
right.
watch these people do whatever it is that their talent is and look at good looking people, judge them for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Gabrielle Union, unfortunately, is going through this on a much grander scale than most of us who go through this in the workplace, who are told
right.
that our hair is unacceptable. It doesn't look professional,
mm-hmm.
which is what everybody likes to say
mm-hmm.
when they don't like the way you look. It's not professional or it doesn't look like the image we want to project to our public,
right.
whatever that is.
Yeah, so I can say from personal experience, and then I'll move to Gabby. So, 1,000 years ago, I actually had locks in my hair. And I remember working at the U.S. Chamber at that time. And it was not, this was before locks became acceptable in the workplace. And I had a lot of comments about my hair. So I'm not surprised that this is going on. One of the things that really, what we have to say, and you actually alluded to it, is that, Gabby isn't this isn't a one-time thing. You know, mm-hmm. she isn't doing this. She's not the only person who's actually going through this. It's just that this has become public. But what concerns me is about, you know, one of the things I would say is that we oftentimes will become comfortable or complacent, if you will, in these spaces. Not Gabby herself, mm-hmm. but we, you know, we are excited that someone is in these spaces, and so we don't challenge them as much as we should. You know, there was another story about the guy from CNN who was the black guy who was suing CNN for similar things. But, you know, we don't challenge these institutions. And sometimes we say, well, you know, they're liberal, you know, you know, they're liberal institutions. So, you know, they're our friends. And that's not how it works a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have to be willing to back Gabby in situations like this, and not just Gabby, you know, as we look across just the landscape of women, you know, people of color who are actually in these spaces, we have to provide the support to them. And we have to be willing to say, and that's why I'm so, I so respect the fact that she did it, because there are a lot of people who probably would not have said anything. Right. They probably would not have pushed back. But in Gabby's case, well, first of all, she don't necessarily need your money. It's good to have that paycheck, but she right. don't need your money. Right.
Yeah, and I think that's an important piece where, we don't know what her bank account is like, but I think it's safe to assume that she's not clipping coupons.
No.
And so, but I think beyond, and hats off to her for even after they, you know, fired her, that, you know, that she is taking a stand and not just
right.
A pretty face mm-hmm. who is, you know, doing the big screen and small. She is an activist,
yeah,
and certainly standing up. But I think there's another piece here that's really important outside of the issue of blackness, and that is the issue of the Old Boys Club.
Mm-hmm.
Howard Stern just fascinates me because, as you know, with all of the crazy stunts and everything, and maybe he's just getting old for that matter, and revisiting, you know, some of the social and political issues that he has made fun of and talked about over the many decades. But he was saying, he criticized Simon Cowell, who was, of course, the executive producer of mm-hmm. America's Got Talent. And he says that Cowell, he has set it up that the men stay, no matter how old they are, no matter how fat they are, no matter how ugly they are, no matter how talentless they are. But what he manages to do on all of his shows is he constantly replaces the hot chicks with hotter chicks and younger chicks, which is so obvious. And I think that he put a fine point on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, listen, I guess there is some redeeming value to Howard Stern. I never mm-hmm. understood his appeal, but
right.
but
exactly.
I do think this is something that I think lots of women are thinking about. Like you said, it's not just black women, but women in general, aged women as they are aging mm-hmm. are not considered a hot commodity.
Right.
And Gabrielle Union is not an older woman, but she's not as young as she used to be.
And she's a hot woman.
And she's a beautiful woman.
Yes, she is.
Right. But I do think that there is something to that, because the thing about Hollywood, I think, in those who are in the public eye, is that youth is the commodity. Youth is a value.
Youth is the commodity and value for women.
For women. Right. Exactly. Because a man gets older and gets more seasoned and distinguished, and he mm-hmm. gets, mm-hmm. you know, he gets to be
and
sexy.
Sexier, right.
And
don't
all
have
of
to
these
worry
things.
About plastic surgery.
Right. Exactly.
Hey, look at
where's,
me.
Oh.
But, I love it.
You know, right, but a woman is thinking about getting fillers at 35 because
yeah.
she's over the hill for many circles. And when you start to think about women who have been doing this profession for a long time, whether they're actresses or singers, etc., I mean, the pressure they must feel, because mm-hmm. they are actually aging in real time
in front of us.
Right. and people commenting on like, oh, she's gotten fat. Oh, look at those wrinkles. Mm-hmm. Oh, she has laugh lines. Mm-hmm. I mean, good God.
Yeah.
Right? What do you want this person to be? They're not superhuman. They just have a lot of talent and we like to see them, but we also don't like to see them get old. So I'm actually glad that Simon Cowell said, I mean, I'm not Simon Cowell, excuse
Howard
me,
Stern.
Howard Stern
right.
said this. Because, I mean, Simon Cowell is not a young man.
No, he's not.
I don't think anybody necessarily sees him as the sexiest thing going. I'm sure he has fans. Don't get me wrong.
He has lots of money.
But he has lots of money, and he's in a position where he can make decisions about other people
right.
and their appearance. And he can say, you get to stay, you get to go. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that another man said it.
Right.
Because I think if a woman says it, it's like, oh, she's just a mad harpy. Right. She's just fat and old and upset and wrinkled.
Right. And you know, the irony, we're talking about Howard Stern. For the audience out there, I don't know if you remember that Howard Stern was the MSNBC, he was the headliner. And remember when Howard Stern actually was removed from MSNBC, it was because of his comments about the female basketball team, the nappy headed H.
No, was that? That wasn't.
No,
him.
That wasn't Howard Stern.
Oh, that wasn't
Howard Stern.
That was Don Imus.
Yes,
Don
that was John
Imus. Oh,
I'm sorry. Yes. Don
sorry,
Imus.
Sorry,
yes.
audience.
Yeah,
that
that's
was
right.
I'm blaming Howard Stern for something he did not do. I guess
that's
he's
right.
done so
yeah.
many things that have been offensive. In
the right. There you go.
Well,
but
that
no,
is true.
Definitely.
That was not him.
And I think that goes back to what you know. What I was to your point, even though yes, it was Don Imus
Howard Stern
has definitely you know said some things that are at best are controversial, but apparently. In his more seasoned years, he has become apparently, at least in this case, more thoughtful. With and I think to the other point that you were just making, Dr. Carter, even and I've kind of watched just the reporters. There was a reporter whose name escapes me on the Today Show. She was an Asian woman who did this story on Gabrielle Union when it. You know, when it first came out, and I was just watching, and I noticed, you know, yeah, her face was frozen because there had been work done, and I began to, and I started looking, you know, I started paying attention to reporters that are obviously young,
mm-hmm. right?
But then at the same time, I was, gosh, that woman has had
the pressure.
Work, has
yes.
work has had
pressure.
Work done.
Absolutely.
Frozen cheeks, frozen.
Yes.
You can tell.
No wrinkles. No laugh lines.
Yeah, no laugh nothing. Lines. You know, nothing.
No. Yeah.
And all of the reporters that I saw, obviously, you know, great journalists. But I think I'm thinking to myself, why do they have to do that? They look fine. I'm not. The work is more on their face is more distracting to me.
But they don't feel that.
Right. And I mean, and listen, we get signals all the time as women about how we look,
mm-hmm.
right? It is almost fair game to comment about how a woman looks. Everything from you look nice today or is that what we're doing with our hair?
Mm-hmm.
You know? It is people feel very free to comment about women's appearance, and I think women in the public eye especially get this, right? I mean, about, oh, she don't look good. It's like that woman is 80 years old.
Mm-hmm. What was the lady Pam, I can't think of the sportscaster. Pam can't
oh,
think,
so on the side,
yeah.
sports. Yes,
yeah. I can't think of her name. But
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Commentary about her hair, where lots of people have had comments about Pam's hair as she's down there reporting. You know, she's sports. You know, she's sports.
Pam Oliver.
Pam
yes.
Oliver. Yeah, that's
yes.
exactly what it is.
Yeah, there have been so many conversations about her hair, whether it's a weave or mm-hmm. a wig or what have you.
I mean,
and men
as a woman,
play a role.
Yeah, absolutely.
Men
they
play
do.
A major role.
And other
role.
Women play a role too, because
yeah,
because
yeah,
a lot of time women
I think
are rough
women
on,
were coming for yeah. Pam Oliver.
Women are rough on other women, but yeah. I mean, even as a woman of a certain age, and I'm not that old, but I'm you know I'm a woman of a certain age. I mean, and I hear friends talk about plastic surgery already, getting body lifts and getting. Getting, you know, Botox or getting the thing to remove the double chin as we age. You know, women start to get a little area under their chin and
see,
people are getting
surgery.
Men don't
have that. We don't have that
same
level of
pressure. I mean, and we're in our early 40s and people are already talking about this or having done this already.
A friend of mine asked me about what would you think if...
if I got, the butt surgery. And I said, you mean an implant? Well, having fat removed from one part of the body to the other. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm not a fan. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, listen, I will say, though, I do think the tide is turning a little bit, especially about things like the more extreme surgeries like these. We were in this really big butt phase decade that was insane. And mm-hmm. everybody's out here shaped like a calabash and just not natural.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I will give credit to some of the women who have, as they have aged, saying, you know what, this was probably not the healthiest choice I could have made for my body, and I don't mm-hmm. want to do this anymore. I mean, Kay Michelle has been very public about removing this silicone and these other things from her body mm-hmm. and the havoc mm-hmm. it wreaked on her body and how difficult mm-hmm. and expensive and painful this whole removal process has been. So I think, you know, there is a little bit there, but we do not like to see people get old.
Right.
We do not like to see people age. I mean, it's just, I think, an unrealistic expectation we have of women, particularly women in the public. I mean, if you looked at Toni Braxton performing a few weeks ago, the first comment people were like, she looks great for 52.
Right. Yeah.
She looks great, period.
Yeah.
But she looks great for 52.
Mm-hmm. But you know what I think that is? And I saw a meme on social media literally yesterday where and I thought it was funny because it said on the left, it said, grandma when we were growing up, grandma on the right, grandma now. When we were growing up, grandma was old and gray.
She looks like grandma.
She looked like grandma with some flat shoes mm-hmm. and old raggedy wig.
Raggedy wig.
You know, church hat and bifocals. Not progressives, but bifocals. But grandma now is sexy Sadie.
Well, you know, so I will say both of my grandmothers, they had their hair until they passed. So they didn't have any wigs or anything. But I do know that when we were talking about the pressure that we place on women, like, men don't have that same level of pressure.
Speak for yourself.
I'm waiting to get gray hair in my head. You know, so, you know, and I was talking to some friends about that. It's like, hey, I don't mind aging, you know, because for one, we age rather well in comparison to probably, you know, other ethnicities. But I don't think that this is something that, you know, with the whole natural hair, you know, people moving towards natural hair, I do see less emphasis on it. But if you're in the public eye, and it really doesn't matter if you're a black woman, white woman, mm-hmm. whatever, if you're in the public eye, the pressure that we place upon women to actually look a certain way, you know, and not just look a certain way as far as your face or anything like that, even the size, mm-hmm. you know, because women have these sort of insecurities. Now, you know, everyone can't be Angela Bassett because we all know that Angela Bassett is absolutely.
She's a freak of nature.
When it says, you know.
She bathes in unicorn tears every day.
Black woman magic. And a black girl magic. Her picture is right there.
Black girl magic Angela Bassett. Tyson even.
Yes.
You know, Cicely, she's gotten older, but Cicely actually looks great. But I think that, you know, I have a friend who actually has had some work done and I didn't know it.
Yeah, you can get good work.
Yeah, and
your folks out here getting great work. But listen, you know, ends meeting is a great way to look great.
Ends meeting?
Meaning that you don't have to worry about paying bills. Oh, right? You don't have to be worried about how you're going to pay that mortgage.
Ends meeting.
Okay,
when the ends meet, it means a lot of things are possible. Also, it means you can get great skin care. It means you can sleep well. It means you can take care of your health. It means you can hire a facialist and you can get a personal trainer and a chef and all the things that it takes for you to look like that.
Money
makes a lot of things possible.
Yeah. Well, speaking of sleeping well, Kamala Harris now has much more time to sleep.
Maybe not.
Yeah, well,
I think somebody's going to be knocking on her door very shortly for something.
Quite possibly, but until that happens, she can go back to California and kind of rest up. Of course, she
just a bit.
Yeah, she dropped out of the presidential race this week. The issue was money, and you know, Dr. Carter, I did an interview with you about this on the day that it happened. Was it just the money, or was, you know, money just a one of the symptoms of the bigger problem?
I mean, I think it's both and, right? Money was a real issue. Mm-hmm. She was having issues of fundraising, and I think even a month ago was laying off staffers. So that's right. always a sign that something is going awry.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's also a symptom of a larger issue we have, which is how these campaigns cost, right?
Yes.
It is, with no public financing, everybody has to kind of get out there and fend for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And now that the campaign cycle is getting longer and longer and longer,
mm-hmm.
right, you have to campaign at least a year, or she's been campaigning almost a year now, for races that are still 4 months away.
Right.
Right. So she had to sustain a staff,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure consultants and everybody mm-hmm. else for almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
And she is not independently wealthy. She's not Michael Bloomberg. She's not Tom Steyer, mm-hmm. right? Who essentially, I mean, Bloomberg could spend $2 billion today and still have $50 billion personal dollars to go home with.
Unlimited. Mm-hmm.
It's insane.
Mm-hmm.
And no one can compete with that. And we should all be alarmed
mm-hmm.
if people essentially can buy their way into an election. I mean, he could just simply stick around
mm-hmm.
with money on his own.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the polling numbers aside, he could just, if he wanted to, just because he can.
Yeah.
You know, the interesting thing about this is that I was having, you know, of course, I'm a Republican, but I was having conversations with some of my Democrat friends. And I was telling them, I said, you know, this is part of what I talk about all the time. So the organization affiliated with the Black Conservative Federation, you know, we are out there trying to get Black candidates to run for office. And there's a difficulty in getting funding. You know, and mm-hmm. so people ask the question, well, why don't you have more Black, you know, conservatives or, you know, Republicans running for office? Well, money.
Yeah.
Money matters. So it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican. Black people across the board have difficulty raising funds for people to even take their campaign seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And in Kamala Harris's case, yes, you know, the money was a part of it. But then just the way that the campaign, you know, was run, you have so many people. The field was crowded. And so you had so many people in the actual campaign. And I think that there were some mistakes that the Kamala Harris campaign actually made where they didn't, after the Joe Biden, you know, I was that girl.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I don't think that they did a good enough job capitalizing on that, because it seemed like nothing really came out of that. Personally, you know, her poll numbers went up, but as far as just her campaign being able to capitalize on that momentum, it seemed like the momentum, it was a high, and then it just continued to go down from there.
But it did. Real quick, mm-hmm. I've 30 seconds.
Sure. No, I was just going to say, I think you're exactly, you're right about some things. It is hard to get funding for Black candidates. It's hard to get funding for Black women candidates,
absolutely.
Especially when we throw words around like electability. She will never be viewed as electable because we don't view Black women
mm-hmm.
as powerful as leaders.
Mm-hmm.
We view them as bossy. We view them as bitchy. We view
mm-hmm.
them as a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But as a top of the ticket leader,
right.
I don't think we see women there. And I certainly don't think we see Black women there. And until we change that conversation,
right.
I don't think we will see another set of Black women stepping into executive roles for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, money will impact the electability, or
right.
at least the
perceived,
thought.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, the perceived
mm-hmm.
Image of electability, certainly. Thank you so much, Malik Abdul and Dr. Niambi Carter.
Thank you.
Appreciate
you. All of you, I tell you, Dr.
Well,
Carter,
you know, I love Dr. Carter, so hey,
that's
thank
right.
You.
You know, I just had to stay Black.
Hey, keep
she
your
will.
Hair.
She will, no doubt about it. I'll work at it.
There
work
you
on
go.
It.
Don't change your color with that dye. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, December 5th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for the connection. Good night.